Dragnet. The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, it is about 7 minutes after midnight, getting a little late start here for the WGN Radio Theater. We will have a two-hour program tonight because Sox cut into a little bit of our show, Lisa.
But we're still here,
yeah.
And we had a chance to listen to the end of the show and to the post-game, and now it's time for some classic
post-game
radio.
Post-game was great. I like the post-game. this is program 296 in the series. And we have 2 hours of classic radio for you. We are going to listen to The Shadow to start things off in just a moment. 1941 broadcast of The Shadow, starring Bill Johnstone. Then we're going to hear Fibber McGee and Molly from 1945 with Jim and Marion Jordan. And it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride. So let's play our game, Cat's Pride. Crack the quote. What's the movie?
The movie is Trainspotting, 1996.
Trainspotting. I don't think I've ever seen that
movie. Oh, well, good. That'll be fun.
I'm probably going to get it wrong, though.
Oh, that's okay.
All right. The number to call, 312-981-7200. What do they win?
They're going to win a Never Measure. That's
Never
what
measure.
You've been waiting for.
I want one.
I know.
All right. 312-981-7200. Let's take the fifth caller, and we'll play the game after these words.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
Hi, Randy. How are you? Do we have Randy? Where's Randy? We're going to get you yet. Randy?
I don't know.
Oh, no. Well,
this happened last week,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we have a little trouble. I see he's on the line.
Hopefully,
we're going to get Randy with us. We've got the pros who are coming in to help us out here.
I don't know.
Let's see.
It's up. Phone. See? I don't know.
All right. I'll start. I think Randy can hear us, so I'm going to start, and hopefully he'll be able to join in. I'm guessing it's a he. Okay. Train spotting. Carl, are you listening?
Yeah.
Okay. Number one. I suffered what I've been told is an episode of acute coronary insufficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Number two. I think we all suffer from acute blindness at times.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, you have an acute and infectious disease as a source of premature death.
You're kind of acute too, Lisa.
Thanks, acute,
yeah,
Carl.
You're welcome.
Can I
yes,
choose?
Please,
I know
Roger.
Carl's like, I see what you're doing.
But we got to make it fast.
Yes, number three.
You like number
I'm
three?
I'm going to say number one.
Okay, we have a one and a three. Do we have Randy or we'll just let him listen in this time? All right, let's hear the answer.
I suffered what I've been told was an episode of acute coronary insufficiency.
So congratulations, Carl. You got it right. It was number one. Roger, maybe next week. Anyways, Randy's going to be a winner either way. We couldn't get him on the phone, but Randy has still won a Never Measure. You can easily center, level, and hang your wall decorations fast. Eliminate the need to use measuring tape or calculate fractions, which is very difficult. I have the Never Measure. I love the Never Measure. Veteran-owned and made in the USA. Get yours at nevermeasure.com. Carl, that's where you're going to get yours, but Randy has won a Never Measure.
All right. Sorry, Randy. We tried to get you on the air. I'm so sorry. People are calling in, trying to win, and then we can't even get them on the air.
But you're still a winner, and we're going to get this fixed yet. So
thank
you.
This happened last week, too.
I know, but we've got Aubrey on it.
Well, then it's going to be fixed.
That's what I'm saying.
Aubrey is the best.
Yep.
All right. Well, it's time for The Shadow. Before we listen to it, though, I want to remind all of our listeners we have a text in line, and we are getting people's texts, and we want to keep Lisa up. And the best way to keep Lisa up is with you texting in. It gives her something to do. 312-981-7200. We love your texts. Please text us, 312-981-7200. All right. Well, The Shadow was one of radio's most popular mystery detective shows, Lisa. And did you know that Orson Welles in 1937 was radio's first Lamont Cranston, alias The Shadow, and Agnes Moorhead, who was Bewitched on the, I mean, was well, Endora.
She was Endora on Bewitched.
She played the lovely Margot Lane. Now, The Shadow, this was so interesting because he learned, Lamont Cranston learned the secret of invisibility. He could cloud men's minds so they could not see him. He learned this in the Orient somewhere. And he used this power to fight crime, right? He could just walk in a room, cloud your mind. You couldn't see him. He was like the Invisible Man.
It's a good skill.
And he would scare you. He'd laugh.
You scare me sometimes, too.
I know. But that's because you can see me. If you couldn't see me, I wouldn't scare you as much.
Oh, I don't know.
After Orson Welles, we had Bill Johnstone, John Archer, who was Ann Archer's father. The actress Ann Archer,
sure.
And then Brett Morrison. They all played The Shadow on the radio. And Margot Lane was the only person who knew Lamont Cranston's true identity as The Shadow. This radio show lasted until 1954. Of course, Alec Baldwin played him in a 90-something film. Yeah. All right. Well, we have an episode now for you called Death on the Rails. This stars Bill Johnstone. It's going way back to April 13th, 1941. Here's part one now of The Shadow.
Adventures of the Shadow are on the air, brought to you each week by the Blue Coal Dealers of America. These dramatizations are designed to demonstrate forcibly to old and young alike that crime does not pay. Shadow, mysterious character who aids the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. As The Shadow, Cranston is gifted with hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so that they cannot see him. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the invisible Shadow belongs. Today's drama, Death on the Rails.
Hello?
Hello, Margot?
Oh, Lamont, where are you?
Well, I'm leaving for your place in a few minutes. How's everything going out there in the country?
Oh, fine, thanks.
Well, that's good. I still wish you'd get over the habit of going out to that lonely place, Margot, all by yourself.
Oh, Lamont, I'm not alone. Katie, the new maid, is here.
But she isn't any protection.
Now, Lamont, we've had this all out before. I'm perfectly safe out here. Now, stop worrying about me and come on out. I'll wait dinner for you.
Very well. Do be careful, please. Bye.
Goodbye. Oh, silly. Never heard of such a thing. What could happen to me out here? Katie?
Yes, ma'am?
If you'll come over here, I'll show you where the garden is.
Yes, Miss Margot.
See, this is it here, Katie.
Yes, I see. Of course, it's still dead so early in the year, but soon you'll be able to get enough vegetables from it to feed us all summer long. Yes, ma'am.
And look, over there is the flower garden. And right behind the house, there's a conservatory that you can... Katie, you're not listening to a word I'm saying. What's the matter?
Well, I... Not a thing, ma'am.
Well, what is it? Tell me, Katie.
Well, it's the loneliness of this place. I wished I'd never come to work here, ma'am.
Loneliness? Oh, now, Katie, you're just...
I mean it, ma'am. You know, being a maid in a summer place sounded real nice when I was taking the job in the city. But now that I'm here, well,
I wished I'd never come.
Oh, Katie, you'll get over that feeling.
Oh, no, I won't, ma'am. Why, last night, before you come here, Miss Lane, I heard so many noises and creakings and groanings that I thought I'd be jumping out of my skin.
Oh, you're not afraid, are you, Katie?
Frankly, ma'am?
Well, yes, of course.
I am. And for good reason. Only last night, I come in the kitchen, and I seen a ghost. Yes, ma'am, a ghost. It just stood there, a-staring at me. Of course, when I come nearer, it turned out to be a mop standing in the corner all covered with cobwebs. Oh, you can laugh, ma'am. But if I hadn't already got me full growth, believe me, it would have scared me out of the rest of it.
Well, there are no ghosts around here, Katie, I can assure you. Come on now, we'd better be getting inside. I think it's going to rain.
Yes, ma'am. Now, it's none of my business, I know, ma'am. But why were you after picking out a place so far from civilization like this?
Why, we've been coming here for years, Katie. It's an ideal summer place. 5 miles from the railroad and no neighbors nearby.
And you call that ideal, ma'am?
Well, Mother and Dad and all of us love it here. And you'll feel the same way by the time the summer's over. You wait and see.
Well, I'm not so sure.
Come on now, we'd better get the rest of our unpacking job done, Katie.
Miss Margo.
What?
I didn't leave the front door open. Did you?
Why, no, I didn't. Oh, wait, of course I did. I remember now.
But I remember you're closing it, ma'am. That I do. You pulled it shut.
Oh, now, Katie, stop acting like a child. I think I left the door open. But if I didn't, what difference does it make?
Why, there might be somebody in there. Oh, Miss Margot, it ain't right for two women to be all alone out here in this forsaken...
Katie, stop that talk. And come inside and get to work.
Well,
believe me, there's nothing to be afraid of. Mr. Cranston will be here tonight. I'm expecting him any minute. So stop worrying.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, the first thing to do is to get those books on the shelves.
Yes.
Here, will you take some of these, please, Katie?
Yes, ma'am, I will. Oh, heaven save me, nothing but mystery stories. Oh, reading about spooks in a place like this, that's certainly carrying coals to Newcastle.
Oh, Katie, stop your mumbling.
Oh, no,
you don't have to read them. Just put them on the shelf.
Yes, ma'am. You know, I read a mystery story once. It was about a house just like this one. The family that lived in it was just like yours. They went to sleep one night and nobody heard from them for weeks. Finally, some folks broke the doors down and found them all butchered in their beds.
Butchered?
Yes, ma'am, butchered. And the worst of it was that... Saints above!
Katie, what's wrong?
I saw it. Now, don't tell me I didn't. I saw it.
What?
Somebody's face looking down at me over the banisters.
Oh, now, Katie, if you don't stop this business...
But I saw a face, I tell you. Oh, Miss Margot, I got to get out of here. I got to.
Listen to me, Katie. You didn't see anyone.
Oh,
there isn't a living soul within miles of this place. Now, stop your nonsense. There's nothing to be afraid of.
Well, maybe you're right. And maybe you're not. What's that?
Obviously, someone is at the door.
Well, I'm not going to open it.
Katie!
I know that there's somebody out there that I'm not going to want to see. It's going to be the same thing that's been showing itself around this house.
Oh, be quiet, Katie. I'll open
the door. Don't you do it, Miss Lane. Don't you do
it. Katie, please. One moment.
Good evening.
Good evening. What do you want?
I hope you'll pardon this intrusion, but the storm is just about to break and I find myself without shelter. May I come in?
Well,
I'm a neighbor of yours. Portless is my name. I've just taken the house up the road.
Oh, really? Which way up the road?
To the right. The big white place with the stone gateway.
Oh.
Yes, I'm taking possession tomorrow. Thought I'd stroll about the countryside and get acquainted.
How interesting. It's a beautiful house.
Yes.
Lovely solarium on the first floor.
I like it.
And that's a delightful swimming pool behind the garden.
Yes, delightful.
Mr. Portless, that house happens to belong to my father's business partner, and he wouldn't part with it for anything. It has neither a solarium nor a swimming pool.
Uh-oh.
And besides, is it your custom to take a valise along with you for a little stroll through the countryside?
I knew it. I knew it was something dreadful when I heard the knock.
Well, I guess my little story didn't work.
No, I guess it didn't. Now, Mr. Portland,
wait,
if you don't mind.
Don't close the door, please. I only told you that because I wanted to avoid alarming you. Thought it would make things a good deal more simple if I appeared to be a neighbor, since I am forced to ask you to put me up for the night.
To ask me to what?
Let me explain. You see, there's been some trouble on the 7:45 train for New York. Engine coupling went wrong, and Since I'm not a well man, I couldn't risk my health waiting around the drafty station at Pegram Junction.
Now, 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 don't let him in, Miss Lane. Please, close the door.
Please. So I inquired after the nearest habitation and was told there were no hotels, but that you were here opening your place for the season. So I just walked over.
I see. Didn't you find it rather a long walk for a sick man?
Listen, young lady, I'm not going to stand here explaining myself any longer.
No, I should say you're not.
Oh, no, you don't. You're not closing that door until I'm inside.
Let go of that door and get out.
I'm sorry to have to impose on your hospitality. Nevertheless, I must.
Merciful saints, he's in.
No, you needn't be alarmed. I'm not going to harm.
I'm going to call for the police.
I wouldn't advise that, young lady.
Oh, no. No, don't call the police. He'd butcher us before we ever got to the phone.
No, I'd hardly do that. But I would suggest that you do not reveal my presence here to anyone.
Why have you come here? What do you want?
A night's lodging, I told you. That's all. Your bedchambers are upstairs, I believe?
Yes, sir.
Will you show me to one of them, please?
Yes, sir.
Hey,
we've got to, ma'am. We've got to. Butcher us, he would. This way, sir.
Thank you. Good night, young lady. I will be gone in the morning.
Yes, I wouldn't be surprised if we all are.
Not very funny, that last remark. Hello?
Is Lamont Cranston there?
Why, no, but I expect him
soon. Well, tell him, please, when he comes, to be very careful.
Why? What do you mean?
There are some desperate people in the neighborhood of your house who will stop at nothing.
Who are they?
I can't say any more just now, but please warn Mr. Cranston.
Who is this? Hello? Hello, who is this?
Oh, I've hung up.
Miss Margot, what are we going to do?
Now, please, Katie, this is no time for a step.
Oh, but I...
Now, listen to me.
I can't.
Stand there by the foot of the stairs and
yes,
keep an eye out for Mr. Portman.
Yes.
I'm going to put a call in to Mr. Cranston in New York.
Oh, but what if he hears you do it? He'll butcher us, just like was in the story.
Oh, Katie, please.
Operator.
Hello, operator. This is Pegram 316.
Yes?
I want to put a call in to New York City. The number is... Operator. Operator, are you still there? Operator. Operator. This phone's gone dead. Hello? Hello? The door. The door's opening. Look, someone's coming in. What do you want? Who are you?
Where is he?
Who? Who are you looking for?
You know who I'm looking for.
He's here all right. I saw him come in, so there's no point in trying to lie to me.
She's got a knife. She's carrying a knife in her hand.
Shut up, you.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, where is he gone? Where is he hiding?
It's Mr. Portless. She's looking for that there Mr. Portless.
That's who I want. Tell me where he is.
You have no right to come into my house.
Tell me where he is, I said.
Upstairs. He went upstairs.
Oh, trying to hide from me. Well, I'll show him.
You show me what, Eloise?
There you are. I've found you.
He's got a gun.
Please, both of you.
You didn't expect this sort of a reception, did you, Eloise?
You're not frightening me, Portless. I'm not afraid of that gun.
Katie, go quickly for help.
Yes. Stay where you are, all of you.
Still the big, brave man when you're confronted by women, aren't you, Portless?
Put down that knife, Eloise.
Oh, no.
You will never learn discipline, will you? Give me that knife.
I'll give it to you. In your heart.
Oh, saints above us. In his heart, she said.
Please, I can't stand anymore.
Knife, Eloise. I'm going to give you the count of three to drop it. If you still insist on crossing me, I'll kill you on the spot. All right, now. One.
Oh, give it to him, miss.
You wouldn't dare to kill me.
I believe you know me better than that. Two.
Give it to him, please.
Stop it.
Will
stop
you give
it.
Me that knife?
No. I've bent to your will for the last time.
I've warned you.
Yes, he's warned you.
He'll do what he'll kill. You'll give him the knife.
No.
Three.
He did it. He killed her.
Katie, come on. We've got to get out of here.
Yes,
come on,
come
Katie.
Come back here, Miss Lane.
Go ahead, Katie.
Miss Lane, come back here, I say. There's the first portion of The Shadow from 1941 called Death on the Rails. More coming your way after these words. Well, we're still having technical difficulties here. In the luxurious studios of WGN Radio. I'll say one thing. They look beautiful. What?
Do things work? We will get this worked
out.
But
they look absolutely fantastic. And the fact that this is radio It's really important that it looks good.
I think so. This is the Allstate Skyline Studio, and we have a great view, and we have a great studio, and we will work out these kinks. We've got a lot of people working on it with us.
I got four kinks in my back.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning with four kinks.
That's it? Speaking Just four?
Speaking of, since we got a second here, I'll tell you a joke, Lisa.
Okay.
You ready? I haven't told a joke in a while.
No, I've been
not
missing.
Not sure if I've
really
a joke
been missing
yet
them.
Since we, this is called the Skyline Studio.
Allstate Skyline Studio.
I like that. Wow.
Yeah, I made that up myself.
Did you?
That was my name.
That's why
and
you
everybody
get paid
just adopted it.
Big bucks.
I know.
Hey, did you know that French fries did not originate in France?
Yes.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're made in Greece.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like that?
Mm-hmm.
That's See, all
one.
My jokes are family friendly, Lisa.
Right.
Family.
That's what I was thinking. Great joke, family friendly. That was my reaction.
All right, let me see here. I don't think I have anything to read. There are spots that are supposed to be airing, but they don't want to air.
Maybe we'll get them in after our
They're
second
stuck.
Part of
you
the
know
shadow.
What? They're stuck. They don't want to. Maybe if we had some Imodium AD.
I think you're stuck.
If we had some Imodium AD. Is to,
then they'd slide right
slide
on.
Slide right out. But right now, we're going to get back to this broadcast. Death on the Rails, Bill Johnstone, along with Marjorie Anderson. Here's the conclusion to The Shadow.
You've got to keep going, Katie.
We must get to the junction. That man may fall.
Well, but he didn't leave the house. We've seen that.
That makes no difference. Come on.
Yes, but look. Look back there. The lights are still on.
Do you want him to catch up to it?
Oh, sure. I'd be wanting that. I think not.
Well, then come on.
Miss Margot, there's a car coming down the road.
Yes.
Yes, we've got to stop them. Perhaps they can help us.
Yes.
Stand out here in the road with me, Katie.
Oh, but what if they don't see us? They'll run us over.
Well, they'll see us. Wave your arm.
Huh? Yes, I'm making like a windmill, I am.
Hey! Keep it up, too.
Hey!
Stopping. Come on, Katie.
Margot, what's wrong?
Oh, it's you, Lamont. Thank heaven.
Blessed day.
What are you doing out here in the rain, Margot? What's happened?
Dreadful things, Lamont.
Yes. The man came in. The woman was killed.
What?
And then we...
What is she saying?
Oh, a strange man forced his way into the house and said he was staying the night.
Yes, and then the woman came. The dead one.
A dead woman came to the house?
Oh, she wasn't dead when she came in. The man shot and killed her.
Well, where is the man now?
I think he's still in the house.
Get off of the road. Here comes another automobile.
Look out, Margot. Oh, fools. They saw us standing here.
Look. Look, that car. It's slowing down in front of the house.
Yes.
Oh, good heavens.
What? Look. They're throwing someone out of the car.
Well, shut. It's another killing.
Come on, Margot. We must get back to the house at once. Listen. Do you hear that, Margot?
Yes. Seems to be coming from down there by the hedge. It was him. Him that was thrown from the car. I know it.
Katie, don't make so much noise. We don't want Portless to hear us. It was him that was thrown from the car. I know it.
Let's have a look at this fellow.
Here he is, Lamont, lying on the ground.
Yes.
Who is that?
No, don't be alarmed, old man. Take it easy. We're here to help you.
Lamont, look at his shirt. It's covered with blood.
You're too late. Nothing can help now.
Take it easy, old man. Take it easy. We'll be the judge of that. No. Here. Let's have a look at you.
No. Just leave me alone. Let me die.
Oh, we can't do that. You've got to let us help you.
Just a minute now. Here. Give me a hand with him, Margot. You must get him into the house.
Into the house? Oh, merciful saints, the house is full of killers and dead ones now.
Well, this man needs immediate attention.
Yes, but what about that Mr. Portless? I mean, Mr. Portless.
Lamont will deal with him, Katie.
Portless. Did you say Portless?
Yes. Yes, you know him?
Portless is in that house.
Yes.
I changed my mind. I want to go in there.
Lamont. Is he dead?
Just a minute. No, he's just fainted. Loss of blood, I imagine. Well, let's get him inside at once.
All right. Katie, you go ahead and prepare some hot water and bandages.
Ahead? Where?
Into the house.
Merciful saints. With a madman running loose in there, I should say not. You'd be carrying him in and me out.
We'll all go in together, then. There. Wait a minute. I've got him now, Margot.
You lead the way.
All right. Vermont, what's behind all this?
Well, I'd like to be, Miss Margot, way behind it.
Oh, please, Katie. Well, Lamont?
I don't know. This man here was evidently taken for a ride. He, in turn, knows the chap that just killed the woman in your house. It's all linked up together somehow.
Lamont, someone called for you a little while ago.
Oh, who was it?
Well, he didn't say, but he left a message that there were some desperate people in the neighborhood, and he warned you to be careful.
Oh, I see.
Lamont, we can't just walk into the house with Portless waiting there for us with a gun. What do we do?
Call out to him. Tell him we're coming in. It's the only way.
Call out to him? Oh, but that only gives him a chance.
Be quiet, Katie.
Mr. Portless! Mr. Portless, we're coming in.
Why don't he answer?
Open the door, Margot.
Come on, do you think we should?
Open the door.
All right.
I'll go ahead in.
Oh, we're just putting our head in the lion's mouth.
It's all right, Margot. There's no one here. Come ahead.
All right, come on, Katie.
As I said before, we're putting our head in the lion's mouth.
Oh, Katie, will you stop?
Get some water, please, Margot. Some hot water and get some cloth for bandages.
All right. Oh! Katie, what's wrong? It's gone. It's gone.
What? What are you talking about?
The body of that woman. She was lying right here by the stairs. That's so, Lamont.
Margot. Are you positive that she was shot?
Oh, Lamont, we heard the gun and we saw her fall.
Yeah, we're dealing with spooks now, too.
Nonsense. She's evidently been taken away by the man who shot her.
Well, then where are they? Still in this house?
Perhaps I'd better find out.
Wait a minute, Lamont. Where are you going?
Upstairs to have a look around. We won't be safe here until that man is found. Oh, meanwhile, Margot, it might not be a bad idea if you call the police.
Well, the phone is dead, Lamont. The wires were evidently cut.
Oh, I see. Well, if anything goes wrong down here, call out to me.
All right. But do be careful, Lamont.
Don't worry. I will.
Now look at the pickle we're in. All alone in a house with one dead, one dying, and one waiting to kill some more.
Oh, Katie, I can't stand any more of your complaining. You can leave here right now if you wish.
Leave? Leave? For where? Out into that storm with spooks chasing me all the way? Oh, no, not at all. If I must die, I'm going to die in comfort in a warm house.
Oh, what was that? The man seems to be regaining consciousness. Get me some water, Katie, please.
Oh. Well, all right, but I'm telling you, they're nothing but a pack of butchers.
Where am I?
You're in safe hands. Just relax, please.
Oh, yes, you found me. You're the one.
Yes.
Brought me into the house.
Yes, that's right.
Wait. You said Portless was in this house.
Yes, he was.
Where is he? Where is he now?
I don't know.
Find him. Find him. Right. They wrecked the train.
What? What are you saying?
Portless and his gang dynamited the train off the tracks. People killed. Many people.
Good heavens, when did this happen?
7:45 train. Tonight.
Why did they do it?
Money. Have the train of money in the mail car.
How do you know all this?
I was planted with a gang. Supposed to report them.
Then you're with the police.
Yes, but they found out. Took me for a ride. They left me for dead.
Then you're looking for Portless to turn him over to the authorities.
Yes, that's right.
Oh. Lamont, did you see any sign of him?
No, but I found his black valise.
That's the bag he was carrying.
I thought so.
Lamont, this man has regained consciousness, and he's just told me all about Portless. He and his gang have wrecked and robbed a train.
What?
That bag. That bag contains the money they stole.
Are you sure?
Yes, yes. Give it to me.
I'll take that bag. Gentlemen, I hope this gun is sufficiently impressive to stop any of you from attempting to interfere with me. I wish to be alone with this gentleman that you brought into the house. Both of you go into that room.
No. No, don't leave me alone with him.
I'm locking the door of that room.
Please.
If either of you attempt to get out, I'm warning you, I'll shoot and shoot to kill.
Lamont, what are we going to do? He'll kill that poor man. I know he will.
But we're locked in this room, Margot.
Well, locked doors have never bothered you before, Lamont.
I know, but...
But you must do something, Lamont. What's the matter with you?
What do you mean?
You let him lock us in this room without even putting up any sort of a fight.
Well, he had a gun, Margot.
A gun has never made any difference to the Shadow.
Well, this may not be a case for the Shadow, Margot.
This may not be a... With a man's life at stake? Lamont, what's come over you?
If you hadn't come to this place alone, none of this would have happened.
Oh, I know. I realize now that you were right about that. And I'll never do it again. But please, the Shadow can save that man. You must do it, Lamont.
But how can I get out of this room?
The window. Through that window, then in the kitchen door.
Please, please don't, Bartlett.
Listen, he's torturing him. Go on, Lamont. Go at once.
I've spent enough time with you, no doubt. Oh. Now you're going to pay for double-crossing me.
No. Leave me alone.
Why hasn't the shadow gotten in there?
Give away from me. Bartlett, give away.
Oh, the shadow is there.
What was that? Where did that voice come from?
It appears that I arrived here just in time, eh, Mr. Portless?
Where are you? Who are you?
I believe that you might know me as the Shadow.
Not the Shadow!
I see that the name is a familiar one to you. Then you must know why I'm here.
You're not going to interfere with my plans, Shadow.
Put down that gun, Portless.
Oh, good heavens.
You don't frighten me.
Put down that gun, I say.
Attaboy, Lamont.
Let me warn you, Shadow. You may be invisible, but I have a very keen sense of hearing. Very keen indeed. I know exactly where you are right now by the sound of your voice.
That'll be of no help to you, Portless.
Quite the contrary. You're made of flesh and blood, aren't you? A well-directed bullet will find its mark in your body, whether you remain invisible or not.
Others have tried your little scheme, Portless, but they've failed. Just as you will fail.
Well, I'm superior to others.
Listen to him.
I can disprove that.
How?
By taking away your gun.
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, Lamont.
How do you like Lamont. That, Mr. Shadow? I told you you'd met your match.
Oh, no. What's happened? Lamont.
You see this? No. Order? That's all that remains of the Shadow.
No. No.
She's coming too now. Margot, are you all right, darling?
Oh, well, Lamont.
Easy now, easy.
But I thought...
Now, Miss Lane, just take this glass of water. That's it.
Oh, Portless, what are you doing here? Nordoff, you're walking around. You're all well again.
Yes, Margot, they're perfectly all right.
Well, I'm afraid you had too much of a shock, Miss Lane. Oh, this is fine. Now enters the mystery woman who was shot. That's all I needed. Not really, shot. Wait a minute. I don't understand.
Well, all this was a little hoax of mine, Margot. I intended it to be a lesson to you for remaining here alone, but it... I guess my little game backfired.
That's putting it mildly. And incidentally, what happened to the Shadow? I heard his voice in the other room and then the shot that killed him.
I guess Mr. Cranston's pretending to be the Shadow was a little too much for you, Miss Lane.
Yes, I guess it was. I'm afraid I'm still in the dark.
Well, you see, we were hired as actors, but he certainly out-trooped us with that performance as the Shadow.
Indeed he did. If he'd been able to make himself invisible, he'd have been better than the original. Now, Mr. Cranston, your voice was better than his.
I'm really not that good.
Oh, oh yes, you were.
Whoa, wait a minute now. As I see it, Lamont, you impersonated the Shadow as the final act in your little comedy.
Guilty, Margot.
Uh-huh. And the only thing you couldn't do was make yourself invisible?
Well, I couldn't very well do that. You can understand, Margot.
Oh, yes. Yes, I can understand, Lamont. And as for your three jovial chums, they're just hired actors.
Good ones, too. Local managers, please note.
I see. Well, from now on, Mr. Cranston, if you don't mind, I'll take all my performances behind the footlights.
Shadow will return in just a moment. But first, here's John Barclay, America's home heating expert. Mr. Barclay.
Thank you, Ken Roberts, and good evening, friends. Well, it won't be long now before you'll be giving your heating plant a well-deserved vacation. That's why I'm recommending the John Barclay Blue Seal Summer Conditioning Service. It's an all-out, all-over electrical vacuum cleaning and furnace inspection service featured exclusively by the Blue Coal Dealers of America. It gives you 10 jobs for the price of one. A capable John Barclay trained serviceman goes over your heating plant from ash pit to chimney. He completely removes all soot and dirt from the inside of your furnace. He seals up all leaks around the joints and doors. He checks and cleans gauges, inspects and adjusts dampers, and drains and refills boilers if necessary. Yes, this John Barclay Blue Seal Summer Conditioning Service is more than just a brush over for your furnace. It puts your heating plant in prime working condition, ready for use next fall. And remember, a clean furnace will save you money and give you greater comfort all next winter. So take my advice and plan now to have your furnace thoroughly cleaned and conditioned by your neighborhood Blue Coal dealer. Just give him a call in the morning. I thank you.
Today's program is based on a story copyrighted by The Shadow Magazine. The characters, names, places, and plot are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows.
Next week, same time, same station, the Blue Coal Dealers of America bring you an adventure of the Shadow so thrilling that I can't attempt to describe it. You'll have to hear it. So be sure to listen. And be sure to phone your friendly Blue Coal dealer for greater heating comfort at less cost. This is Ken Roberts wishing you a happy Easter from the Blue Coal Dealers of America.
Happy Easter, Lisa.
Thanks, you too, Carl.
I didn't even know, Lisa, that we had Easter coming up.
It's right around the corner.
Oh, yeah, in March.
Yeah.
So that is a terrific episode of The Shadow. That is Death on the Rails. You know, Ken Roberts doing the announcing on this, I had the great pleasure of meeting him. Also, Marjorie Anderson, who played Margot Lane, I met her as well in New York at a convention years and years ago. They're no longer with us, but... this was written by Jerry Devine. That guy was really divine,
yeah,
wasn't he? Jerry Devine. He did
he
a lot of
heavenly.
Writing. He wrote a lot. He wrote a lot of these Shadow episodes. All right, Fibber McGee and Molly in our next hour. So make sure you stay with us right here on the WGN Radio Theater. Make sure you sail away with us because Lisa and I are taking a cruise and we want all of you to come with us on our classic radio cruise. That is this February coming up, February 16th through the 23rd, on the largest passenger ship in the world. It is a Royal Caribbean ship, Symphony of the Seas.
This is over President's Day weekend, so it's a really good weekend to get out of Chicago and get out of the cold, and even better, to hang out with me and with Carl. There's going to be 6,000 passengers. They call it a floating city. There's so much to do, and not only restaurants.
I'm going to eat a lot.
I know you are, but there's shows and there's nightlife. And of course, we're going to have this radio reenactment. There's going to be so much to do. I guess there's going to be the Broadway show Hairspray. There's a new Aqua Theater. There's going to be comedy shows and game shows and original productions, live bands, orchestras.
There's an ice skating
sports
rink,
bars,
right?
An ice rink. There's a pool and a slide. I mean, we go on and on.
Plus, we're going to three really cool destinations.
Right, this is just the ship itself. We're going to go to St. Martin, St. Thomas, the Bahamas. So for more information, you can give them a call at Kelly Cruises. They are an exclusive travel partner. We work with them on this cruise. Give them a call for more information if you want to sign up. 630-990-1111. I'll say it one more time. 630-990-1111. That's Kelly Cruises. You can check them out at kellycruises.com/classicradio, and you'll learn a little bit more about our
Come
cruise.
Come sail away with us. All right, you know, tomorrow we have Dan Jaffe and Dave Weiske coming in to start things off right at 11 p.m., and we're going to talk about Cat's Pride, our main sponsor here, but we are going to give away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. Now, if you don't have your picture in of your kitty cat, this is how it works. You send a picture in of your kitty cat, and we will take that picture along with all of the other pictures that come in, and we're going to put them in, I think it's like a case or a hat, something that Mike has, Mike Costella. And then Dan or Dave will randomly choose one of the names in that hat, and that person will win a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter, which is a fantastic Fantastic gift, especially if you have a cat.
If you have sent it in a prior month, send it in again because you'll be re-entered for this month's drawing, June drawing. And what's most important about this whole thing is that Cat's Pride product, their kitty litter, is the highest quality kitty litter on the market. You can find it in the green jug. I buy mine at Jewel, but I know it's everywhere. It's at Chewy.com and it's at the Petco and I don't know, all the major pet stores.
I'm actually going to correct Lisa for the once in
what
my
I
life.
Say?
It's actually the May drawing because it's last month's drawing because they didn't come in at the end of May.
Yes, Dave came in himself.
No, this is June now.
This is the end of June.
Yeah, this is the end of June. You're right. Yeah, am I right or you're right?
No, Carl. This is the last day of June.
Gosh, so this is the month behind.
This is the June drawing. Dan wasn't able to make it, but Dave came in himself last month.
So Lisa wasn't right. Wasn't wrong.
I'm like, what did I say?
She was right.
I was right.
And I was
wrong. Anyway, this is the June drawing. Send it in.
I want to get her so bad.
Oh, darn it. Catspridephoto@gmail.com.
Do something wrong, but she never does anything wrong.
Oh, darn it.
Gosh, she's so smart. That's why she has two master's degrees.
Well, that's why you keep me around.
So you're absolutely right. It's the June drawing. And so if you don't have your picture sent in.
Hurry up.
You got to do it. Tell them where to do it, Lisa.
CatsPridePhoto@gmail.com. Say it one more time. CatsPridePhoto@gmail.com. Send it in now. You will automatically be entered into our drawing, which is tonight at 11 p.m.
Yeah, and everybody that has a cat has a picture of their cat.
That's for sure.
Just email it to us.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you'll be entered. Now, we also need your name and your phone number.
We need your name, your cat's name, your city and state. That's all we need.
We'll
have your email address to contact you.
I will be giving away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thank you, Roger. All right. It is hour two, really, of our show because hour three is going to be
gone.
We nixed it because we started late. We started an hour late. All right. So in hour two of our show this morning, it is Fibber McGee and Molly, one of the best comedy shows and longest running comedy shows of the golden age of radio. That's coming your way in just a few minutes, a broadcast from 1945. Good comedy. But right now we're going to play our game, Cat's Pride, Crack the Quote. But we are not going to ask for listeners, because I don't think the phones are working right. So, Roger, are you there, Roger?
Yes, I am.
Roger and I will play the game. Okay.
Yep, sounds good.
And listeners, play at home.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
All right, here we go. What is the movie?
The movie is Dial M for Murder, 1954.
Dial M for Murder. Okay, well, let's go to a quick break. We'll come back and we'll play the game. We'll be right back.
It's time now for Crack the Quote. Brought to you by Cat's Pride.
So we're going to do a little Cat's Pride Crack the Quote with Carl and with Roger. The movie is Dial M for Murder. You can play at home. Here we go, guys. Quote number one, I will murder everyone you love. Number two, he testified about murdering his mother. Number three, you're trying to blackmail me into murdering your wife. What do you think, Roger? You usually do this, right? You usually get the right
number
answer.
Three again.
Number three?
Number three.
You like number three? You want to hear him one more time?
I'm going to go with two.
Okay, so we've got one about mother and one about a wife.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
You're trying to blackmail me into murdering your wife.
There you go. Roger, you got it. Roger's on the board.
Congratulations.
Roger, you have won a nothing. But you get some points with me, so good job.
Roger watches a lot of Turner classic movies, Dial M for Murder.
Yeah. Very classic. Yeah. Great movie. As they say amongst the older people.
Hi, everyone. It's Dave Hoekstra here, inviting you to join me on a WGN tour of Ireland this fall.
Dave.
We'll see Dublin, Derry, Donegal.
Well, Dave is going to Ireland. We're going to the Caribbean.
Wasn't that a great lead-in to Dave?
That was perfect.
I was going to say that they don't make them like they used to.
No. Well, thank
but
you
Dave
for...
is just as good.
You know, Dave wasn't on this before us because of Sox. So he
oh, that's right.
Right. He so he to wanted get to get his 2 cents in
yeah.
there.
He needed to get in.
And he did, and he did. He's going to Ireland. We're going to the Caribbean. I guess it's going around here. Everybody yeah. wants to get away a little bit for the winter.
I'll be staying here for you guys.
All right.
You're not going to come on the cruise with us, Roger?
Unless you can put me in steerage.
Yeah.
The steerage? Yeah. We'll
I may have to
that.
Join the crew.
That might
We'd
be
love
worth
you.
It.
We'd love you to come with.
We
Food
would.
Service. Knock, knock, knock. Food service.
You know how great Roger would be on that radio reenactment we're going
oh,
to do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on.
I think if You'd you were awesome. On the cruise, we could get more people to sign up because yeah. everybody
well,
loves Roger.
That's true.
I don't know.
We might have to pay you to come on with us.
We can talk.
We're open to conversation.
Yeah.
I hear you.
All right. Well, we're gonna. Hey, you want to listen to Fibber McGee and Molly? I know how much
I would
you love
to. I love Fibber McGee.
He
and
does
Molly.
Love Fibber yes. McGee and Molly. And you know what? Who doesn't love yeah. Fibber McGee and Molly? They were great. They were on the air a long time, Roger.
Mm-hmm.
They were on the air from 1935 all the way to 1959.
Yeah,
they had a long show.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, it was a comedy show, and it was a real-life husband and wife. Jim and Marion Jordan starred as Fibber McGee and Molly. They were natives of Peoria, Illinois, right here in Illinois. And they lived on the show at 79 Wistful Vista in Wistful Vista, USA. The series was written by Don Quinn, who helped create the series. And there was always these crazy characters, his neighbors, Fibber and Molly's neighbors that would pop on by. They'd just ring the doorbell and pop in and talk with Jim and Marion Jordan. And those neighbors included Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, played by Hal Perry, Mayor Latrivia, played by Gail Gordon, you know, Lucille Ball's foil for years, Wallace Wimple, the old-timer, Horatio K. Boomer, all of those guys were played by Bill Thompson. Then there was Doc Gamble, who was played by Arthur Q. Bryant, who was the voice of Elmer Fudd. Voice of Elmer Fudd.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, of course, the Fibber Hall Closet, yeah. which had all kinds of junk in it. And every once in a while, not on every show, but on maybe every fifth or sixth show, Fibber would open the hall closet and all the contents.
Kind of like your house,
yeah.
Carl.
It's all it's very
similar,
very messy. Yeah, Harlow Wilcox. There's the name.
Harlow.
There's
my name.
Yeah. He was the announcer.
And the little girl, the little kid,
Teenie.
Yeah, Teenie was actually the voice. Was Marion Jordan.
That's right. Mm-hmm. She
yeah.
did a great voice
yeah.
of a little girl, and she'd come over and annoy Fibber.
Yeah.
Very funny stuff. And there were two spinoffs. Can you name them both? I mean, I know you'll know one of them, but there was two spinoffs on
well,
Fibber
the Great Gildersleeve.
Yes, the Great
Gildersleeve. The first one.
You know what the other one was?
Any idea? You know what? Right now I can't think of it.
Beulah.
Oh, yeah.
Their maid, Beulah.
Yeah. The Beulah Show.
Yeah, the Beulah Show. They had a maid, Beulah, and mm-hmm. that show spun off for its own program. Well, we have an episode for you now from November 27th, 1945. On this show, Fibber decides to chop down the old oak tree. Here's part one of Fibber, McGee, and Molly.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Makers of Johnson's Wax products for home and industry present Fibber, McGee, and Molly, written by Don Quinn and Phil Leslie, with music by the King's Men and Billy Mills Orchestra. A beautiful piece of linoleum can do wonders in brightening up your kitchen, bathroom, or front entrance. But what about keeping the linoleum itself beautiful? Well, that's an easy job for Johnson's Glow Coat, the preferred floor polish in millions of homes. And no wonder Glow Coat gets first choice. It gives your linoleum and other floors great beauty. It takes practically no work. And it protects the surface against dirt, wear, and moisture. Actually adds greatly to the life of linoleum, as well as keeping its color and pattern fresh and new-looking. Glow Coat is self-polishing, requires no rubbing or buffing. You just apply and let dry. It's that easy. Spilled things are wiped up in a jiffy, and that eases your work, too. So, for beauty, convenience, and protection, join the millions of satisfied users of Johnson Self-Polishing Loco. This is a sad moment at 79 West Covista, a sad moment and a tense moment. Because here in the living room, waiting for the verdict of the surgeon, the tree surgeon, on the fate of the old oak tree in the front yard, we find Fibber McGee and Molly.
For goodness sakes, McGee, stop rushing to the window and pacing up and down. There's nothing you can do about it.
I know, but my gosh, I will, gee whiz. I don't know why cartoonists get so much fun out of a guy walking up and down outside of a maternity ward. This suspense is awful.
Oh, be calm, dearie. Relax. Look at me, sewing away as though nothing at all were happening.
Yeah. You've tried to thread the tape measure through the wrong end of that needle 3 times. You're going to hate to lose that old oak tree as much as I'm going to hate to lose that old oak tree.
Yes. Yes, I really am. I love that tree. It's always been...
Uh-oh. Here's the bad news. Come in.
Hello there, McGee. Hello, Molly.
Hi, Doc.
Hello, Dr. Gamble.
What's going on here, anyway? Molly, you've been crying.
Oh, it's nothing.
McGee, have you been beating your wife?
Ah.
Because if you've laid one badly manicured finger on a hair of her well-shaped head, so help me out.
No, doctor,
you.
No, it's nothing like that.
It's just that we're expecting some bad news, Doc. The doctor's here.
Dr. Woodbury.
Dr. Woodbury? I don't believe I know.
Wait a minute! What is this? Who's Dr. Woodbury? By George, I may not be under a yearly retainer to you people, but I know your medical histories like Amos knows Andy, and I wouldn't... Where's this Dr. Woodbury?
Out in front, Doc.
Up in the tree.
Up in the tree?
Sure knows his business, too. Shinnied up that big trunk like a salmon up the Columbia.
He's been clear up to the top 4 times.
I see. Some emergency arose, so instead of calling old Doc Gamble, you consult some stranger. He goes out and starts climbing trees. Well, it's been nice knowing you folks. Good day.
Hey, wait a minute, Aerosmith. You don't understand.
He's a tree surgeon.
Oh, a tree surgeon. Oh, that's too bad.
What's too bad about it?
Well, much as I would have hated to terminate our relationship in the event that you'd found a physician who suited you better...
Oh, nonsense.
It would almost have been worth it to have another medico in this town who knew his sphygmomanometer from a hot rock. Tree surgeon, eh?
Oh, I tell you, he's the best in town, too, doctor. He's the one who saved Toops' horse chestnut tree from a serious case of Japanese beetles last year.
They say this guy can take one look at an acorn and tell you how many times the firemen are going to have to come and rescue a cat out of it when it grows up.
I'd like to see this miracle man.
Dear, dear, dear. I hope he says he can save it.
Cheer up, Mommy. There's still hope. Come in.
Well, I finished my examination, Mr. McGee. It's a... am I intruding?
Not at all, Dr. Woodbury. We'd like to have you meet an old friend of ours. Dr. Woodbury, Dr. Gamble. Dr. Woodbury is a tree doctor, Dr. Gamble.
And Dr. Gamble is a people doctor, Dr. Woodbury.
How do you do, Doctor?
Hello, Doctor. I take it all is not oak with the oak?
It's a pretty serious case, I'm afraid. Tell me, Mrs. McGee, has this tree of yours any history of Dutch moth? Any childhood diseases that you know of?
No, I don't think so, Doctor. Though, as I remember, it had a bad attack of woodpeckers in 1929.
Woodpeckers.
That's the first instance I ever heard where the patient got stuck with a bill before the doctor even arrived.
How about it, Doc? Is it, will we have to... I mean...
Is there any hope, Doctor?
If you good people would be so good as to leave the room a moment, I should like to consult with Dr. Gamble. Would you honor me, Doctor?
Delighted, I'm sure, Doctor. Although my arboreal experience has been limited to a certain lady patient of mine to whom we refer as the Weeping Willow Bee. You'll excuse us, Molly?
Certainly. Come on, McGee.
Okay. Do everything you can, men. Remember, expense is no object. Arms that don't cost too much.
Well, I see where Alabama's picked for the Rose Bowl, Doctor.
Yes, I remember when Alabama played it in 1926 for the first time. Beat Washington 20-19.
Yes, yes. Well, how's business, Doctor?
Oh, can't complain, Doctor. Though I sometimes envy you tree surgeons.
Hmm? How so, Doctor?
Well, sometimes it seems so simple to slap 100 pounds of cement into a patient, paint him with tar, and brace him up with a few feet of wire cable.
Yes, yes, it has its points, Doctor. On the other hand, you're in no danger of a patient falling over on you and breaking your leg.
Incidentally, Doctor, how about the oak tree out in front? Look bad?
That isn't a tree. That's a perpendicular stack of firewood.
Oh?
It's been dead longer than Julius Caesar.
Well, why stall around, Doctor? Why don't you tell him?
Well, it looks better this way. More dignity.
Oh.
But you better call him in now, I guess. And try to look more serious, Doctor. Remember, we've been consulting.
Oh, yes. Sometimes I'm inclined to forget I'm a doctor and act like a human being. Come in, McGee.
Well, docs, what's the verdict?
My boy, I'm afraid it's bad news.
You mean?
Yes, yes, Mrs. McGee. As it must to all trees, the end has come to the old oak tree. It's battled its way through life from tiny acorn to sturdy tree. It has stood between your home and the fierce heat of the sun. It has been a barrier between you and the tempest. But now the birds must seek another resting place. The whippoorwill must shrill his plaintive call from elsewhere, and my fee is $7.50.
Oh, and it was such a beautiful tree.
Oh, forget it, Molly. With that thing chopped down, maybe the paper boy can hit the front porch now and then. Well, here's your dough, Doc.
Thank you. Nice to have met you, Doctor.
Thank you, Doctor. See you up in the maple tree sometime.
And now, if I could remember where you put my hat,
no,
I would...
No, Doctor, not in there.
No, that's the hall clock!
Couldn't hang a hat in there. Boy, that sure is a tough old tree, ain't it, Molly?
Yes, it certainly is.
Yep. You take 50 more whacks at it, and then I'll chop for a while.
You take the axe now, dearie. I don't want all the fun. Besides, I've got a crick in my back that would float the Queen Mary.
Well, we better rest a while anyway.
What do you mean we'd better rest? All you've done is grunt.
Sure, but somebody's got to see that the works get started, right? There's a lot of science to falling a tree, you know. Give me that axe and I'll show you.
All right, here, you chop and I'll grunt.
Thanks.
Oh! Ow! McGee.
Huh?
Why don't you keep chopping in the same place all the time? That tree looks like it was being chewed by some cross-eyed beavers.
It's easy to see you don't know much about lumberjacking, kiddo. Look, where do you suppose this tree's going to fall when it falls?
Well, I hadn't really considered that, dearie, but for a rough guess, I'd say onto the ground.
Ah, but where onto the ground? If it falls to the north, it'll crash through the roof of the house. South, it'll fall into the street and block traffic.
Yeah?
So, I gotta make it fall right straight down the center of our driveway. See?
Well, how on earth can you make it do that?
That's the trick, baby. That's where skill and experience comes in. You see, you gotta make a deep cut into the trunk. Then right above it, you make a shallower cut. Then the tree falls to one side, you see?
Are you sure you don't make a deep cut above and the shallower cut below?
No, I don't think so. I always thought... Oh, hey, here comes Wilcox. Maybe he'll know. Hey, Junior, come here a minute.
Hello, Molly. What's the matter, pal?
Just a little matter of woodcraft, Mr. Wilcox.
You ever a Boy Scout, Junior?
Sure. Eagle Scout.
Oh.
Owl Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
Merit badges for bricklaying, bookbinding, picture framing, leather tooling, and housework.
Housework?
Yep. That's where I first heard about Johnson's self-polishing glow coat.
Yeah. But what I want to ask you is...
Ah, that was one merit badge I won like a flash.
Mm.
I took some Johnson's glow coat over to the scoutmaster's house, you see, and showed his wife what it would do for her kitchen linoleum.
Yeah, but look, Waxy, when you chop down a tree...
I showed her how simple glow coat is to use. How you just pour a little out, spread it around with a long-handled applier, let it dry 20 minutes or less with no rubbing or buffing.
Yeah, but what...
And how it helps restore the beauty and sparkle of the original pattern.
Yes, but himself here wants to know how to cut down a tree, so...
And boy, when the scoutmaster came home that night and walked into his kitchen, he was astounded. He said, "Who is responsible for that beautiful, gleaming linoleum?" And his wife patted me on the head and said, "Eagle Scout Wilcox, Benjamin." And the scoutmaster said, "Wilcox, I must ask you to resign from the Boy Scouts." So I did.
After fixing up his kitchen linoleum so it would last so much longer and make his wife's housework so much easier?
That was a dirty trick.
No. No, he was right. He just found out I was 31 years old.
Getting to be a bald Eagle Scout. But look, Waxy, did you learn much about woodcraft?
Ah, plenty, pal, plenty. Look, if you get lost in the woods, you simply wait till October and see which way the geese fly, and that's south.
But, Mr. Wilcox, do you know how to chop down a tree and make it fall where you want to?
No, I don't. We didn't chop down trees. We were taught to love trees.
Doggone it, we love trees too, Waxy, but this is a dead tree. It's got to be cut down. It's dangerous.
And besides, it'll give us a lot of firewood for over the holidays.
Yeah. Well, what's so funny about that, Junior?
I just thought of a great gag about doing your Christmas chopping early.
Oh.
I want to get along home and tell Spaniel Eyes before I forget it. See you later, folks.
That's first portion of Fibber McGee and Molly Moore after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, before we tune into the conclusion of Fibber McGee and Molly, I want to remind all of our listeners, we want you to come with us on our cruise this February 16th. It's a cruise all about classic radio, right, Lisa?
Yes, this is going to take place the 16th to the 23rd, which is President's Day weekend. What a perfect time to get out of Chicago and hang out with Lisa and Carl for a little while. Tell them about the ship.
Well, the ship is the world's largest passenger ship. And it's called the Symphony of the Seas. It's Royal Caribbean. And Lisa and I will be there, and we hope you will be there, too. In fact, Lisa's going to wear a bikini, she told me.
It's possible. I'm going to have to get a spray tan first because I'm a little pale. Well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go to St. Martin, St. Thomas in the Bahamas. The cruise originates from Miami. But this ship is a city in and of itself. There is nightlife. There is going to be the Tony Award-winning show Hairspray. There's a water theater. There'll be original productions and comedy shows and game shows and live bands.
There's an ice skating rink.
There's
an ice
rink.
I can't ice skate, though, so someone could teach me.
That's possible. There's the world's tallest slide. I don't even know where to begin. And, of course, we're going to be doing a radio reenactment for all of our passengers that sign up through Kelly Cruises. They are our exclusive travel partner.
Learn more about this cruise, which is February 16th. It's a week-long cruise. It's going to be a ton of fun. Go to Kelly Cruises, right, Lisa?
You can go to kellycruises.com, or you can give them a call at 630-990-1111. We want you to sail away with us.
Yeah, hang out with us for a whole week in the Caribbean.
I can't be with Carl alone. Yeah, I really need some friends with me.
We need a lot of our listeners with us. All right, so check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's our classic radio cruise. And we are in partnership with Kelly Cruises on that. So do call them. Find out all about it. One more time with the phone number, Lisa.
630-990-1111. I can't wait. I hope that you'll join us.
All right. It's back now to Fibber McGee and Molly.
Spaniel Eyes. If my husband ever called me Spaniel Eyes, I'd give one sharp little bark and bite him in the garter.
You'll never get a merit badge for wit and humor either. Christmas chopping. Oh, well, I'm sure I'm right about putting the deep cut under the shallow cut. One side, Snooky. I'm going back to work. Phew. That's strenuous work, Molly. Great stuff to develop the gifteps, though.
You mean the biceps theory?
You can't biceps like mine. They're a gift.
Look, Pet, wouldn't it be simpler to call some professional woodcutters and have them cut this tree down for you?
No, sirree. I do this myself. Did Abraham Lincoln squeal for help when he wanted to clear a trail to the corner drugstore? No, sir. I come from pioneer stock, and I ain't selling it short. Did I ever tell you about my father being born in a log cabin?
No.
Well, don't let me, because it ain't true.
All right, but I'm still doubtful about your ability to lay this tree down the center of the driveway.
What do you mean, doubtful? You lay a walnut on that driveway, and I'll crack it with 4 tons of oak tree, that's all. My gosh, if
look,
I don't...
Look, McGee, here comes Mrs. Carstairs.
Oh, that rhinestone rhinoceros. She's so aristocratic that when she blushes, she looks like a blueprint of the Chase National Bank.
I think she likes us because she knows we're not after her money.
Yeah, well, what good would it do us if we were after her money? The way she handles a buck, you'd think there was a game warden on every corner. Besides, she don't like me, and that's mutual.
Well, maybe she is a little up... hello there, Mrs. Carstairs. So nice to see you.
How do you do, my dear? Glad for once to find you without your husband. Not that I dislike him particularly, although with a little effort...
Hi, Carstairs.
Is that you, Mr. McGee?
It ain't Clement Attlee. Though I am at present of the Labor Party till I get this job done.
I guess you didn't recognize him with those lumberjack clothes on, did you, Mrs. Carstairs?
No. May I ask what you're doing with the long-handled hatchet, Mr. McGee?
I'm chopping this tree down, Carsey. Didn't know I was a woodsman, did you?
Yes, I did. My husband told me.
Oh, your husband told you my husband was a woodsman?
Yes, indirectly. We passed Mr. McGee on the street one day, and my husband said, lumbering sort of a fellow, isn't he?
Oh, yeah? Well, that sparring partner of yours is no Fred Astaire either, Carsey. He's about as graceful as an armload of coat hangers.
Please, Mr. McGee, for your information...
Tell Mrs. Carstairs what you plan to do about this tree, McGee.
Yes, do, Mr. McGee.
Well, sir, the problem is this, Carstairs. I got to chop down this tree so it'll fall exactly down the driveway there. That's quite a trick of woodmanship, too.
Yeah, but he can do it, Mrs. Carstairs. He can do it.
Sure, I can do it. I'll drop this trunk like a nervous redcap.
Well, I should never have selected you as the lumberman type, Mr. McGee.
Oh, he knows his way around in the woods all right, Mrs. Carstairs. In fact, he's not out of the woods yet.
I'll say. Why, up there in Minnesota years ago, I was not only the greatest woodsman of my day, Carsty, but the greatest fisherman, too. In fact, I caught so many of one species of bass, they named me after it. Big Mouth McGee, I was known as. McGee, the bully boy of big bunches of burly, beady-eyed bruisers, bringing in big batches of beech, birch, and balsam, banding brisk banter with the brawny bandits and booting the bejunior out of the brainless brutes that busted their bill hooks, bewildering big bosses with my baffling business of balancing the books and bagging big bonuses, but there's too many words beginning with B, so excuse me, folks, while I chop this tree.
The King's Man and Come to Baby Doo.
I took a choo-choo-choo-choo fast as I could take a choo-choo. I came a long, 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 long way to take you in my arms. And now it's your first move to prove that you've been true. Come to Baby Doo. Come to Baby Doo. I've been away, way, 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 way beyond the blue horizon. I'm hoping no, 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 no one else is on your mind. So pucker up, my sweet, and meet your Waterloo. Come to Baby Doo. Come to Baby Doo. Stop me from guessing. Ain't no time to tease. Stop all this messing. Put your bacon, baby, at ease. I want to love, 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 love just the way I want to love you. I'm going to try, 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 try to make you understand. When all is said and done, the one for me is you. Come to Baby Doo. Come to Baby Doo. We'll be right back. to Baby Doo. Come to Baby Doo. When all is said and done, the one for me is you. Come to Baby Doo. Come to Baby Doo.
Better take it a little easy, dearie. That tree doesn't look very steady.
Which way does it look like it's going to fall?
Search me, McGee. I thought you said you could positively lay it right straight down the driveway, though.
I positively can, I think. My calculations are right, and I'm positive they are. I trust I can...
Wait a minute, McGee. Here comes that girl from next door. The prize fighter's cousin.
Oh, her again. What do you suppose they're
at?
Good
day, Mr. McGee. Hello, Mrs. McGee.
Hello there.
When you get through using that axe, may I borrow it for Punchy McClatchy?
Hmm?
He's my cousin, the prize fighter, you know.
Yeah, we know, sis. Why do you want to borrow the axe?
Well, Punchy simply must get out and do some road work today.
You can't do road work with an axe, can you?
No, but we have to threaten him with something. I'll be back for it later. Thank you.
Mr. McClatchy must be the phlegmatic type.
Huh?
They have to threaten him with an axe to get him out of the house.
He's the dumbest pork and beaner in the business. He uses up more seconds than a Fred Allen ad lib. Fred Allen, that is. They say McClatchy's bed linen is made of old circus tents. He can't sleep unless it's on canvas.
I take it you're not one of Punchy McClatchy's greatest admirers.
You can not only take it, you can keep it. McClatchy is a victim of fate.
He is?
He's got a Sunday punch and all his fights are on Saturday. Oh, well, so much for the manly art of assault and battery. You think I can take a few more wallops at that tree?
Well, I don't know, dearie. It's getting awfully wobbly. A breath of Chanel number 5 would bring it down right now.
Well, if it does, it'll fall right smack down the driveway and mark my words. But mark them in pencil. I could be wrong.
Do my ears deceive me, or did I hear the little man admit he could be wrong?
Hello there, Mr. Mayor.
Hi, Latrivia. Ever chop down a tree?
You must have me confused with George Washington, McGee. I'm just mayor, not president.
No, he's serious, Your Honor. He has a slight problem.
Yeah, look. When you want a tree to fall in a certain direction, do you make a big cut under a small cut or a small cut under a big cut on what side?
Well, now, that's quite the most interesting problem which has confronted me today, McGee. And I have had some little dandies.
Such as what, Your Honor?
Such as the case we have in the corner lot at 17th and Oak Street.
Oh.
A carnival there was exhibiting a dead whale on a flat car.
Uh-huh.
Night before last, the carnival moved out, leaving the whale. Now, a white elephant is popularly supposed to represent the acme of indisposability. But what does one do with a dead whale?
Well, you've got quite a problem there, Mr. Mayor. Can't you dig a hole and bury it?
And what would we do with 100 tons of dirt that the whale replaced? Dig another hole and bury that? That approaches perpetual motion.
I got an idea, Latrivia.
Yeah?
Yep. That vacant lot ain't far from the county line, is it?
A few 100 yards, I believe.
What of it, McGee?
Well, suppose some dark night the flat car should break loose and run a half mile down the track. That'd be kind of take it out of your hands, wouldn't it, Latrivia?
My boy, I thank you. You have solved the case of the fragrant mammal.
My shucks, it's nothing that any red-blooded American boy couldn't have done. Hey, you want to stick around and help me saw up some firewood with that buck saw over there? I'm going to chop down the old oak and bucket, you might say. You get it, kids? It's a paraphrase on the old musical.
Ain't funny, McGee. Oh.
And if I may make a suggestion, McGee, your tree is beginning to totter a bit. Hadn't you better bring it down?
Well, I'm a little dubious, Latrivia, about the method. Like I said, undercutting or overcutting. I don't want to take any chances.
Well, being a politician at heart, I'll trade a favor for a favor.
Huh?
You got that whale off my hands, so I'll call my city forester and get advice on felling this tree.
Oh, wonderful. But you boys had better hurry. This monarch of the forest is about to abdicate.
Yeah. Now, let's go in and do it right now, Latrivia. Come on in.
All right away. Get to City Hall and ask for extension 42.
Okay. Hello, operator. Give me the City Hall. Emergency. Hello, City Hall. Extension 42, please.
Mr. Stanislavski. He's the chief.
How do you spell it?
Ask for Jones. He's the assistant.
Hello? Is Mr. Jones there? Oh, it is? Well, this is Mr. McGee of 79 Wistful Vista, and I wanted to find out how to cut a tree, so... Hello? Hello, Mr. Jones? Is that you, Mr. Jones? Well, thanks anyway, Mr. Jones. Goodbye. Come on, Phil.
Ah, well, you did it, McGee.
Very efficient, McGee. Right down the driveway.
Well, Natch, I told you I could do it. Now I'll drive downtown and get a few guys to help me trim the branches off. Want to ride downtown, Madrid?
Thank you, yes.
Okay,
yes.
I got to go fast. Hey, where's my car?
Right where you left it, McGee.
Huh?
In the driveway under the tree.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
You know, if it did nothing more than make every room more beautiful, you'd be grateful enough for Johnson's Wax. But it does so much more. It protects all kinds of surfaces against wear and dirt, wood, metal, and leather. Its regular use does away with costly refinishing of floors, for example. It protects the finish of your tabletops, brings out the beautiful grain of the wood. And then, besides beauty and protection, Johnson's Wax saves you work all through the year. Waxed surfaces resist dirt and dust. They're so easy to keep clean. When you walk into a neighbor's home, you can tell at a glance if it's a wax-protected home. If its floors, furniture, and woodwork gleam with friendly, mellow beauty, the chances are 10 to 1 you'll find Johnson's Wax, paste, liquid, or cream, on the pantry shelf.
The car badly damaged, dearie?
That's exactly what La Trivia asked me.
He did?
Yes, he said, does this mean a new car, old top?
And you said?
And I said, nope. New top, old car.
And he said?
He said, good night.
I see. Well, good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox, speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax products for home and industry, inviting you to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
That's Fibber, McGee and Molly, going way back to November 27, 1945, chopping down the old oak tree. Jim and Marion Jordan on that. You did not hear Hal Perry as Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve. By this time, he was well established on his own radio program, so he was not one of these crazy characters that came through and rang the bell of Fibber, McGee, and Molly's door. But you did hear
The closet.
Hall Closet on this particular episode. Very cool. Sponsored by Johnson's Wax, which was their long-running sponsor. Harlow Wilcox doing the announcing for NBC.